بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters who are listening, first, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a topic which Mullah Suleiman did say that I chose, but I actually never chose this topic. This topic was chosen by the brothers of the community. For some reason you're very fascinated with the jinns and the sihr and the evil eye and other things. And it's true, it's a true problem that we have. But you got bigger problems than that, right? You got bigger problems than that, right? You got jinnats in your house. You got jinnats in your house. You know which jinnats I'm talking about? The jinnats that are human beings, but they don't listen to you. You know what I'm trying to talk about? You don't know what I'm talking about. Let me explain to you. You know when your son gets to a certain age when he's supposed to get married, and you tell him, son, I found you a beautiful woman, and the son says to you, okay, let me see her. So he sees her. She's very beautiful, she's very good inside out. And he says, papa. Then you show him another one, and he says, You show him another one, he says, You show him another one, he says, Then you show him another one, You say, man, even I would marry those girls. What's wrong with you? And the big jinnat, then what happens is, then people start suspecting that someone's done jadu on your son. Someone has done black magic on your son, or some jinn has playing around with the mind of your son. True or not? True or not? Whenever in our community something like this happens, then a lot of people run straight away. Kisi ne kuch jadu kiya hoga. Somebody's done some jadu. Somebody's done some black magic. What you don't understand is that your son is in love with another woman. You guys understand? Oh, you don't understand. You know, you guys are the most civilized people on the earth I've ever seen. Answer my question. He's fallen in love with another girl. With another woman. You're talking about jadu today and someone's done some seher on him and black magic. Why won't my son listen to me and this and that, and someone must have done something to him. Why don't you just accept the reality and you know that he's in love with another woman? And when man is in love, then man is blind. True or not? Only 15 people at the front. Even they're a bit old as well, yeah? They know 30, 40 years ago it happened to them. The rest of you youngsters, you don't want to admit to it. If a person is in love, then he's in love. He doesn't have no black magic. He doesn't have no sihr problem. He doesn't have no jinn problem. It's a love that he has in his heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, حُبُّكَ الشَّيْءِ قَدْ يُعْمِيكَ. Your love for something or someone can make you blind. Now what happens is, in our normal cultural, you know, way of moving forward, when a husband and wife start to have problems, and they start to argue with one another, straight away we say, what do you say? Oh God, what do you say? Jadu. Ah, oh, Patani, this many years, they were living so happily together. Oh my God, what happened to them all of a sudden? Why are they arguing like this? Someone must have done some black magic. I don't accept that. When you look at people's lives, the first thing you have to do is study their lives from before, study their lives all the way up to the present moment. When a son is not listening to you, or daughter is not listening to you, is it the first time they stop listening to you, or it's a multiple amount of times they stop listening to you until the day came when you're trying to get them married and they're saying to you, I'm not going to listen to you. Do you guys understand? Your son, your daughter did not listen to you when you told them to finish off what's on their plate. This was 15 years ago. Your son, your daughter didn't listen to you when you told them they shouldn't have a smartphone, but they got a smartphone in the end. Okay? Your son, your daughter never listened to you when you told them to get off the PlayStation. You know, do you guys have PlayStations in South Africa? No, you don't have PlayStations in South Africa. Because, I tell you why you don't have PlayStations in South Africa. Because, mashallah, I've seen your wives are very fast, huh? But your Wi-Fi is very slow. You got a big problem, boys. South Africa is full of businessmen like you, mashallah, yeah? But your wives are very fast, but your Wi-Fi is very slow here. When the PS4, the PlayStation 4 is on in your homes, when the Xbox One is home, one of the biggest things you have to understand is how do you control them from going over the limit. If you cannot stop them today at the age of 11, at the age of 8, at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, if you cannot control the time, if you cannot say, boy, daughter, on the iPad, on the screen, you're going to stop at the second hour. 2 hours I'm giving you on this. If you cannot limit the time, if they don't listen to you, and today they take 2 hours, 20 minutes, they take 2.5 hours, then when it comes to 2.5 hours, they're still playing, right? Then you come up to them, you say, hey, get off there. I'm finishing this game. You turn your back, they start a new game. Then you come back again, you say, hey, you finish. I'm finishing this game. And they've got this new game out now. Biggest jinnat of every single jinnat you've ever seen. Big jinn, jadu, you name it, man, big time. Its name is Fortnite. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Who's heard of Fortnite? Put your hands up. That's it. Today I'm going to take the jinns out of your homes. This Fortnite is a very stimulating game. It not only allows the children to get inside another virtual world. They get in there, they are running, they are climbing mountains, they are carrying items, they are breaking wood, they're collecting, you know, bricks, they're gonna make themselves a fortress, they're gonna hide themselves. Subhanallah. And when you tell them to carry 2 carrier bags in the shopping center, they say, Papa, it's too heavy. You understand? They can do all of that. Then they go over there, then they have kills. What they say to each other is, hey, how many kills have you got on Fortnite? Because they've got to go in there as 100 men, and they've got to become the last man surviving or the last squad surviving of 4 people. So they'll go in there, and so much stimuli going on. You can turn around, you say to one another, the thing is they've got headphones, okay? They're talking to one another. One can be in Durban, another one is in, you know, Port Elizabeth, another one is in Joburg, another one is in Cape Town, another one could be in UK, and they're talking with each other, the cousins, they're saying, hey, Quick, give me that gun, quick, drop the load, give me that one, yes, that's it, exchange this one, hey, there's a guy coming, I can hear the guy coming, there's so much stimuli going on. He said, hey, this one is a 360. Wow, the guy doesn't even know maths. And he knows direct, he said 360, 270, because they're looking at the angles, the time, you know, where they got to shoot, where the next guy is coming from. So they're going on a proper, you know, a spree, and they're having so much fun. They're talking to one another, and they've got so many things going on that by the time they've switched the Fortnite off, and the screen is blank, and they look at the walls of the house that is not moving, and they look at their living room which is still, and they look at the mom and dad that have just been sitting on the sofa, life is very boring. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. Their mind is still stuck in Fortnite. It's still stuck in PS4. Now, this is a big, I want to tell you, the residents of Johannesburg, this is not just your problem, this is a problem in America, in Canada, in the UK, in Africa, in the rest of the world, this is a big problem. The problem more is with the parents than the children. In America, this father came up to me and he said, Imam Sahib, can you please speak to my child? He's 17 years old and he doesn't want to study anymore. I said, why? What's the matter? He says he plays 5 hours of PlayStation 4 a day. 5 hours. How many hours, brothers? Five. Guys, how many hours? Five hours. Let me count them for you. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. You understand? He doesn't probably even do Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Isha, Maghrib, which probably takes him, 1 hour to do in a whole of the day. But he religiously will do 5 hours on the PlayStation 4. I said to the father, it's your problem. Your fault. He said, the father said to me, how is it my fault? My son's the one playing. I said, it's your fault. How? I said, because tell me, when your son was 12 years old, where were you when you were supposed to control him? If you could not control him at the end of the second hour, and he goes ahead of the time, he plays more than what you said, then tomorrow you've got a big problem. He will continue to play till 2.5 hours. Tomorrow you allow him to play 2.5 hours, but he doesn't stop there, then he wants to play to the third hour. And then the day when you say to him, son, I'm not gonna allow you to play, you know what they do? See, in a parliament, there are strong people, there are weak people. Do you understand? If you cannot get your bill passed from the strong people, then you get them passed through the weak people. Do you guys understand politics or you don't understand politics? You understand? If you nod your head, if you say yes to me, then I know you're listening. Do you guys understand? Yes. So when you don't get anything done through your father, who's the foreign minister, you get it passed through the home minister. They go to the mother and say, I want to play, it's not fair. My cousin Suhail plays for 3 hours, And my cousin, other one, Ahmed, he plays for four hours, but we only get 2.5 hours, and I got 2.5 hours. It becomes like, one of those bees that entered your house. She wants to just switch it off. So then she gives in. She said, okay, go and play. That's it. They win over the home minister. The next is to win over the foreign minister. Because now they've got 3 hours. They're not going to stop at three. The biggest problem is, I'm asking you, that if you put a rule in the house, your rule should stay according to your rule. If you can control them at, you said 2 hours, they play 2 hours, that's it. And you know what? In my house, I've got a policy that they cannot play anything Monday to Friday. It's just homework. Monday to Friday, nothing. You want to play other games, board games? Play the board games. Play games with yourselves, no problem. Run around, do what you like. But no electronic games Monday to Friday. And even on the weekends, we have a very specific time in my household for them to play these electronic games. Because the moment they go over, they get addicted. And when they get addicted, then you as the father and the mother are the big problem. You guys understand? Now, at the age of 14, they weren't listening to you. At the age of 15, they were going out, not coming home from school on time. At the age of 16, they were hanging around certain friends which you didn't want them to hang around. At the age of 17, they were going to college of their own choice, or they chose their own subjects and they continued. At the age of 20, when they were at university, then they started to stay at a dormer outside of your house somewhere else. At the age of 23, by that time, they've already tasted life. Do you understand what tasted life is? I hope the adults understand what I'm saying. I can't translate for the children. Do you understand? Tell me yes or no, otherwise I'm going to have to go into the tafsir of this. Do you understand about them tasting life, yes or no? Jesus, good. You saved me from going to tafsir of this. Then at 23, he's already made a relationship. And then you're telling him, son, I found a nice bride for you. Would you like to get married? He's not interested in the first place. He's going to go because he needs to show formalities. He's going to go with you because he needs to show you that he did something. He can't admit to you what he's doing behind your back. And then at the age of 23, 24, you come to the Imam Sahib and you say, Imam Sahib, somebody has done jadu to my son. Somebody's done something, some jinnat, something wrong with my son. Nothing wrong with your son. Jinnat is in you. Jinnat has been in you as a father for the last 12, 13 years. Where were you to stop your son? And let me give you the other example about husband and wife. Husband and wife, let me do these stats here, okay? Everybody here, okay, there's probably a good 300 people here sitting here. Okay, in this hall. Let's do the stats. If you've been married for over a year, if you've been married for over a year, so all those under a year are still in the honeymoon period. May Allah bless your honeymoon period. Enjoy it while you can. Because the next honeymoon is going to be in Jannah. Okay? Now, let me get to the next part. If you have been married for 1 year or more, and you've never had an argument with your wife, then please raise your hand so that I can come and kiss you on your forehead. Raise your hand, come on. Well, I want all the men to look behind. All the men, look, all the men, all of you, look behind. Tell me one man who's raised his hand. Now, I haven't got the sisters in front of me, but I would have done the same thing. Not one sister will be able to raise her hand. Because it's a natural thing for husbands and wives or anyone living close together to have your arguments. The problem is not in having the arguments. The problem is how you deal with the arguments. Okay? So I'm going to spend a quick few minutes on this. In the days before, when my mother left, my mother told me this, and I'm sure many of your fathers will tell you this or your mothers will tell you this, either about your grandmothers or about your own mothers. I don't know about current situation in Johannesburg, okay? Imam Sahib never filled me up with anything, nor did Suleiman Bhai or anybody else fill me with anything, okay? So I'm dropping this right now. When my mother got married, her mother told her, she said, daughter, you're going now to another man's house, he's going to become your husband. When you go over there, that is going to be your house now forever. This house, which is your mother's house, your father's house, is no longer your house. Any problems you have, they remain in that house. You are never to look back at this house. If you ever have a problem of almost splitting up, you must know that we will not accept you in this house. This was what she was told. There is no turning back. You make it or break it, you stay over there. When a woman is told, and when a man knows, make it or break it, they have to stay together or do something together. When they know this, then you know what? They will find a solution to their problems. Today what happens is, a marriage happened. I'm talking about UK, and I want Imam Sahib and all of you to tell me if this is happening in Johannesburg or not. So a marriage has happened. Everyone is happy. And you guys, mashallah, you must have the most lavish weddings ever on earth. Because the dawahs they fed us on the last 3 days, I'm having problems sitting here doing the bayan. I'm thinking, subhanallah, it's really painful to sit here because of the food in my stomach. On your weddings, you must be very happy, right? So after the wedding, what happens is shit, the bride comes home. And everything's happy, everyone's happy, on mitai, faluda, this, that, blah, 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 okay? No one said a word. No one said a word. Suddenly, you find that the wife's parents have turned up at the door, the newly wedded bride. Her parents or her brother have turned up at the door, or they phoned the house and they said, what's going on? No one hasn't even heard anything. So what happened is, she had a little bit of a problem, with either her sister-in-law, or her mother-in-law, or her husband, or someone in the house. She didn't say a word. What she did, is she went onto the platform of Ilham. You know what Ilham is? Ilham is giving somebody else a message from far without any means in between. In your language, it's called WhatsApp. Do you guys understand Ilham? So she sat there, she gave Ilham to her family. My husband has been doing this. My sister-in-law is looking at me and she says to me, I am more beautiful than her. And my sister-in-law is causing some problems here. Papa? Huh? Mama? Who's going to come to my rescue? Because of the WhatsApp going from the house and messages flying across from one house to another house, then there's a massive crisis. Families are trangling. What? You do this, you say this. What is this? What is this you created? What is this that humans have created? Is it true it's happening here as well? Say yes. Imam Sa has been here for 25 years. He must know what's going on. It's happening here as well. It's happening over there. The thing not to do is to tell your household stuff to all your families and friends. No. You only discuss it when it's emergency. When it's getting very bad, okay, if you think it's going to get really bad, then tell them. Get some help, yes. But little things, straight away, tick, 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 tick. You got big problems, then somebody comes and says, oh, did you hear, nah? Huh? Huh? They got married, huh? Huh? Lovely wedding, huh? Somebody did jadu. Ulluka patta. Nobody's done jadu. The biggest problem is that girl, that daughter is not supposed to text over there. And when they've texted back between them, what happens is they start texting each other. So the sister-in-law is texting the sister in the house of the husband's house is texting, you know, her baby's sisters and their mothers and this and that and they're in here and there. And the biggest problem is in WhatsApp and in social media, you cannot read the person's mood. You cannot read the mood. You don't know which context. You don't know which context they said it. You don't know which face they said it in. You don't know which way they said it. And with this, what happened? Then people, you know, they receive it. Then they capture it on their phone. Then they record it. Then nowadays, subhanAllah, everyone is walking around with a camera and everyone is walking around with a microphone. Everyone has become a journalist. La hawla wa la quwwata illa. You sit in a majlis somewhere, they're having a meeting, your meeting's supposed to be private. The hadith said, al-majalisu bil amana. When you have a meeting, it's supposed to be private. You're not supposed to come in the meeting with a recorded device. Gigi, ha ha, ha. You're hardly saying anything because you know you're recording. And then you take the recording, then you send it to others. And then that creates a massive fitna, a fitna and a tribulation that cannot be buried for the next 20 years. So the adab and the ways we're supposed to communicate, stick to that. And there's no problem of a jinn in these cases. There's no problem of a jadu in these cases. People have, let's say another one, a third one I'm going to say to you. Somebody has a headache, a constant headache. And they think, oh, maybe a jinn is a type. So a constant headache. Now the thing is, I remember once I used to have headache. This was about 7-8 years ago. I started to get headaches at the back of my head and they used to be really cramming sort of pain, excruciating pain at the back of my head. So I was in Hajj. And in Hajj, in the tent of Mina, I slept next to a doctor. So I said to the doctor, as a doctor, you know, I'm getting these headaches. And he said, I've noticed you're not drinking much water. Khalas, ilaj, finish, my friend. I was cured before he even examined me. I started to drink more water, and now for 7 years I'm not getting the headaches. If you got headaches, then start looking physically what you've done wrong or what you're not doing that is right. Some people get a back pain, some people get a leg pain. Why? Because you're not sitting properly. Some people got a habit sitting like this always. If you're going to always sit like this for years and years, you're going to get back pain, you're going to get a pain somewhere. If you're always going to walk in a certain way that is not right, maybe you developed it while you were growing up, you never even realized, and then you're going to get problems. Some people have got problems that are to do with the kidneys and they think that, oh, this pain always comes at this time, it's Maghrib time, it comes, and it must be the jinn at Maghrib time that comes against you. What are you talking about? Before Maghrib, you have all that food that goes down your stomach, and on top of that you stick the pan inside. The problem is the pan. The problem of some people is chai. I'm telling you this right now, some people get headaches when they don't have tea. Or coffee, true or not? You don't want to admit it, true or not? I'll tell you when to find out. I'll do a survey, yeah? First 3 days of Ramadan. All the people who got headaches is because they got a bad habit of having tea and coffee every single day. Don't make a habit for yourself every day by which if you don't have it, you're going to start ending up with a health problem. Your problem is no jinn, no nothing. It's something you're doing. Some people, let me tell you another one, a new one. Can anyone work this out? A lot of people are complaining that the forearm is hurting. A lot of people are complaining that they're getting pins and needles in their fingers. Can anyone here put your hands up and tell me what is the problem? Come on. What it is look, when you're holding your phone, yeah? When you're holding your phone, what they're doing is they're holding at this angle. Look, this angle. The blood flow is not going properly. It's turned upwards. It's at about 35, 45 degrees. So you're holding your tablet or your phone like this, and you're texting or you're moving, okay? The blood flow is not good. If you leave it like that for hours and hours every single day, you're doing a few hours like this, what will happen after a while? Your forearm's going to hurt. You're going to have pins and needles. Your hands are going to ache. That's your problem. There's all sorts of these problems that you can get rid of without it now. Let's say you have a problem. What do you do? Okay, this is about this, okay? First and foremost, go and see the doctors. If you're not going to see the doctors and say straight away it's jinn or jadu, whatever it is, then in itself you might not be doing the right thing. Because sometimes the doctors can diagnose you with something which might be a serious problem that you've got. You might not even know what kind of a health problem that you've got. Now, if the doctors cannot find out what is wrong with you and they're doing several tests over and over again, give them a fair chance. Let them do different samples, different things. Then you may want to go to someone to do some ruqya. You may want to do that. But before you consider going to someone to do ruqya, I'm going to give you the best way to solve all these problems out. I'm going to give it to you for free. I'm not going to charge you for it. You're going to get it for free. Hopefully, you will practice it. 7 people, 8 people said, inshallah. So you 7 people, see me later on. I'll give it to you guys. The rest of them, they can go home and they can carry on talking about the jinn and jadu. Are you going to practice it if I give it to you?
Inshallah.
The biggest thing for your own ilaj, for your own cure, for not only your cure, for your children's cure, for your wife's cure, your husband's cure, your house cure, is your amal and your practice. Don't go to the toilet as a man and take your hose pipe out and wash everything down. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you know, some people go there, they do their business standing up. If you do your business standing up and you get a bit of urine onto your clothes, onto your body, then this is one step now that you've left the doors open for the jinns to come to you. Sisters should be very careful on their monthlies or how they discard it. Sisters should be very careful in that. How they discard it and their own cleanliness. Brothers should be very careful when they go to the toilet and in terms of how you spend your time in there. First is obviously you say, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. You say that, you've got your protection, the jinn won't even see you inside there. But the next thing is don't come out of the toilet with some urine on you. If you come out with that, then you're inviting the jinn to come to you. If you come into your house, say Bismillah when entering. You open a door, say Bismillah. You close a door, say Bismillah. You open a window, Bismillah. You close a window, Bismillah. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put the lid off of the pot. He used to say Bismillah, and when he would put it back on in the night time, especially, he used to go put all the lids back on and he used to say Bismillah. And he told us that whosoever will say Bismillah by opening one of the exits of the houses, door or window, when you close it or open it, you say Bismillah, no jinn can enter your house. These are very basic things we should know. Basic things. Teach your children, Bismillah open, Bismillah close. No jinn can come or enter the house. When you come in the house, the same thing. Get a habit of saying Bismillah loudly. And if you know the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayral mawliji wa khayral makhraji, Bismillah waladna wa Bismillah kharajna wa ala Allahi rabbina tawakkalna. If you know the dua, then say the dua as well, inshallah. But learn it if you can. If nothing else, say Bismillah when you enter, Bismillah when you exit. Now, these are very basic procedures. The next thing, what is it? The next thing is the amount of Quran recitation in your life. In your daily routine, how much Quran have you got? How much Quran has your wife got? How much Quran has your children, do your children have? Guaranteed 100%, I'm telling you. If you recite the Quran daily, and you've got a routine of reciting the Quran, even if somebody does a black magic on you, or a jinn comes near you, they will not be able to stand you. By coming near your body, they will have a burning feeling. They will get burned by coming near you because of the Quran recitation that you've got. And most people think that no. See, what a lot of people do is that they want somebody else to come and tell them the prescription and get them to be better. But my friends, let's be honest with you. When you get sick, when you become ill, and the doctor says to you that you must go on a diet, and you must be very careful of what you eat, what do you do? Do you come home and you tell your wife, hey wife, you know, I think you should go on a diet? Which man comes home when the doctors told the man, hey listen, you're getting a bit too fat, okay? You need to lose some weight, go home and go on this diet. Which man comes home, looks at his wife and says, hey wife, you need to go on a diet, says the doctor, on behalf of me. Which man is crazy to say that? So tell me this now. The man, let's say, has got a problem with jinn or something. He comes home and he expects his wife's Quran recitation to rescue him. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He doesn't want to learn how to read the Quran. He wants the raqi to come and blow on him, chumalika, chumalika, choo, and the jinn goes boo. That's what he wants. There's no such abracadabra, my friend. Because when the raqi comes, this is what's going to happen. When the person who's an exorcist, who's doing ruqya, he's going to come, and yes, at the moment he's in front of you, and he's going to blow on you, he's going to read the Quran, blow on you. For that moment, the jinn will have a very hard problem staying with you. Because the Quran has been recited. The moment the raqi goes, the jinn's back with you. Why? Because you're not reciting the Quran yourself. The one thing, look, there should be no Muslim here, not a single Muslim who does not know how to read Quran. And guys, if you tell me, that you don't have time to do your tajweed and come to the masjid, I mean, look, you guys should be asking the imam and saying, look, we are 10 men here. We want to lessen ourselves. We want to learn tajweed. We want to learn how to recite the Quran properly. Please teach us. There's no shame in this. A lot of people, what they do is they go to the Quran khanis. Have you seen the Quran khanis? Somebody's passed away. They go, they give the 30 juz out, one juz each. And most of them sitting there, they're just going. You seen them? Because they don't know how to read. They don't know how to read. And even if they read, you probably catch maybe 50 or 60 mistakes in a few lines. They're just like, just reading. You don't know tajweed. I tell you, I feel sorry for you, but I'll give you the solution. You were 12 years old when you left the maktab. Then you went out there, you're a young boy, young girl, whoever you are. Mainly it's men that have forgotten how to read the Quran. MashaAllah, a lot of our sisters still try and recite the Quran. And the men become very lazy. Why? Because they're 12, then you get into school, then after a while you finish your Quran, the Mulisab taught you how to read the Quran, you knew up to 16 of years of age, then you went to college, university, you got busy with life, you forgot the Arabic. Let's be honest with it. Let's be straight and honest with you, you forgot about it. Then you got into something which is the most sweetest thing in your life, because your blood is Indian blood. Your blood is what? Oh, guys, you're going quiet on me, yeah? I'm not being racist here. I'm just going to say something really good for you. I'm going to say something really good. Your blood is what blood? Yeah. Actually, you're scared, man. You get me scared as well now. A jinnat are we go, huh? Your blood is what blood? Most of you, Indian blood. Indian blood runs up and down. Business, 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 business. Normal house call. Do-do. You go, business, 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 business. Wherever the Indians have gone, business, man, they don't understand anything else. Pesa, pesa, money, huh? That's number one. So anyway, let's, Allah has blessed you, alhamdulillah. It's a good thing. Allah has given you a lot of wealth. He's blessed you. He's given you the knowledge to do business. He's given you the passion to do business. Now you got into the business world for another 10, 11, 12, 14, 15 years. You never touched the Quran. You never had time. You didn't even put your mind to it. You completely forgot your Arabic. I understand that. Now you're telling me that you cannot come back to the masjid and ask your imam to teach you Quran, or ask someone in your family who can teach you Quran, or today you've got no excuse because the internet is full of teachers that will teach you Quran through Skype. Don't tell me you have got an excuse. You businessmen, the moment you find business in China going very well, you start learning Mandarin. Yes, you do. Ciao. You do. You will learn Mandarin just to make those few extra bucks. If your business is going good in, let's say, Russia, you learn Russian language if you have to. You'll do it because business is important. Your akhirah is also important. Your life here is important. Learn how to read the Quran. And that should be a priority. And every day as a person who is doing a job or a business, the first thing in the morning should be Quran. Inna Quran al-Fajr kana mashhuda. Do you know what happens when you recite the Quran al-Fajr? The angels come, they sit with you, next to you, to listen to you reading the Quran. So you read the Quran. Now, what happens is when you recite the Quran again and again, no jinn can come near you. And if somebody was to do an evil, let's say a black magic or something on you, then the thing is, it will have little effect or no effect on you. Even if they were to do a strong one on you, it will have some effect maybe, but depending on your Quran. The more Quran you recite, the less effect. In fact, the one who recites Quran a lot, no black magic can affect them. It can't affect them. It's very, very difficult for it to affect them because of the recitation of the Quran. And people turn to all sorts of, you know, ways of trying to cure them. Some will go for the amulet, some will go for this, for that, and so on, and some will start spending money. Allahu Akbar, man. I'm telling you one thing here. If a man claims ever, if any big sheikh or someone ever claims, I don't know if you've seen these adverts. These adverts sometimes come on TV, sometimes they're in newspapers, sometimes you see them on billboard adverts, some one of the Indian countries, or sometimes Pakistan, they have these big adverts. Man, they say, Yaha har qism ke ilaj hai. Here, there is every type of cure. Cancer ka cure, diabetes ka cure. They say to you they can cure you from cancer, cure you from diabetes, they'll cure you from blood pressure, they'll cure you from gastric, they'll cure you from all these other pressures and problems and pains and all of that. When you see that, then you better run 100 miles. Because if that guy could do what he said, then he should never visit a doctor. Do you agree with me or not? Yes or no? Guys, are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes or no? The man himself has a doctor. If you can cure yourself from everything, then you do it yourself, my friend. We'll just sit here and watch you. You'll be the most famous man in the whole of the world. These people can't do this. There are genuine people who do ruqya, and there are many fake raqis. They're fake. They're after taking your money. They will tell you, send the money over to us. We're going to do zaba of a black sheep over a river at this time of the day. And when you do that, your problems are going to vanish. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. I feel like singing for them, ba ba, black sheep or something, you know. I don't know what's wrong with them. A black sheep over a river at this time of the day, and your problems are going to go. So for the black sheep, they need like this many hundreds of rand, okay? They need this many hundreds of rand, and they need to pay, you need to pay for that. Then after a few days, you got the problem again. So you ring them. They say, oh, we need to do two cows. One red and one black. And when we do zaba, both of them, then your problem's going to go. My friend, there's no black sheep, there's no red cow, there's no black cow. You are being blackmailed. Do you understand? You are being robbed, my friend. You better wake up. Those guys will send you things through the post. They'll tell you, tie this, do this, put this here, drink this, do that, potion, chumalika, chumalika, chum. And you don't know whether they are giving you stuff to cure your situation or to actually create a situation. You understand? If you ever have a problem in your house and you think that the doctors cannot do anything about it, and you've been to the doctor several times and they cannot diagnose it, and you think there is a problem of jinn, jadu, whatever, and you also obviously read, reciting Quran, whatever you should do, whether you're reciting Quran or not reciting Quran, the best person to come to you is come to your local imam. You trust your local imam. He's been praying in that place for this many years. You can trust him. If he doesn't know what to do, he can refer you on to the genuine people. And that's what I do in my country over there. People come to me. I know so many fake people out there. I know a couple of genuine people. I refer them on to them. But then again, what you got to understand is, sometimes what people have is a psychological problem. They don't have a jinn problem. Sometimes people can have a jinn-like problem or a jadu supposed problem, but it's near to the psychological problem. The way to find this out needs a very clear specialist. Actually, one way you can find out, but I don't want you to do this. Maybe I shouldn't tell you because you're going to do it. Huh? There's one way to find out. The way to find out is to go near the patient, and without them realizing what you're doing, is for you to recite the Quran in their presence, but with a very soft voice, that they don't hear it, they don't know what you're saying, and they cannot see you. You start reciting Quran there. If you see the reaction, this is behind their backs, they don't know that you're there reciting Quran. If you see a reaction, immediately stop the Quran, because there's probably some kind of problem with the jinn or a jadu or something there. But if they didn't react, but they're only reacting when people are coming in front of them and they're reciting the Quran, then it could be a psychological problem. There are people who have the very similar symptoms as a jinn and as black magic, but actually it's a psychological problem. Some people have had some kind of black magic done on them, and they have lived for 10 years like this, and the effects of whatever they had continue to carry on in their minds because they were hearing those voices for the last 10 years. Do you guys understand? So that it could be that. But anyway, let me get down to one other thing that you can do. In your house, if you feel that you're getting, let's say for example, people have bad dreams. People have bad dreams. A very easy thing to do to stop bad dreams, sleep with wudu. Sleep with wudu. Before going to the bed, or when you've gone into the bed, recite the following. There's parts of the Quran, you recite that. Recite the first five verses of Surah Baqarah. Then Ayatul Kursi. Then the last two verses of Surah Baqarah, from Aman al-Rasulu bima unzila to the end. Then you recite Qul huwa Allahu Ahad three times. Qul a'udhu rabbil falaq three times. Qul a'udhu rabbin nas three times. You blow in your hands, you pass it all over your body. You pass your hands all over your body, go to sleep, you should not have any bad dream. No jinn or anything will come to your dream. Okay? Just do that, it's a very simple thing. If you still see a dream, some people they wake up in the middle of the night and they're like, they know where they are, but they can't move the body. This happens as well, yes? They can't move the body. That is not a jinn always. That is not a jinn. That is some phlegm that is stuck up your nose. I'm not joking. Do you know, or it's your tongue that is making it hard for you to breathe. So you know snoring. You know people snore. You understand snoring? You understand snoring? You know the problem of snoring is the snoring problem is not in the nose. A lot of people think the snoring problem is in the nose. It's not in the nose. Research has proven that the snoring problem is with the tongue. Because the back of the tongue goes, when you drop off to sleep, the back of the tongue goes so, it slips into the back part of your mouth. And then it blocks the passageway and it makes it difficult for you to, you know, breathe easily. Therefore, you get a sound going. You understand? I hope your wives don't pull out your tongues tonight. I make dua for that. But if you got a problem with that thing, you wake up, what you do is simple this. Make sure before you go to sleep, you clean your nose, clear your throat. Then go to sleep, number one. Number two is when you're sleeping and if you wake up, then all you have to do is you're stiff and you wake up, you can't move the body, you just move towards your right hand side or your left hand side. Just change the position. What will happen is whatever was stuck in your mouth or deep inside will go. And if you still have got the problem, then make sure that you read Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep and blow on your chest. You will never have that problem. Guaranteed you won't have that problem. And have yaqeen with it as well. Yaqeen that is going to work. And you recite Ayatul Kursi on your chest, you won't have a problem. Some people have a problem, they hear footsteps in the house. It's true, right? Sometimes you're alone. When you're alone, you hear footsteps in the house, yes or no? You should say Alhamdulillah. What should you say? That's your jinn wife. She only moves around when your human wife leaves the house. You know, I'm joking. There's going to be full war in the house when you go back today. What happens is, you can hear footsteps in your house. I've heard footsteps in my house. I don't bother with them. Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy. Because they are jinn salihin. They are righteous, pious jinns that want to live in other human Muslim houses. They live with you. They never bother you. They never do anything to your children. In fact, one morning you might be late for Fajr. They'll even wake you up sometimes for Fajr. Some people are nodding their heads. Yes. They'll wake you for Fajr. Bruv, don't call me to your house. Yeah? I'm joking. There are salihin that are in your house. You should be happy there. They will be there. No problem. They will never bother you. But if you feel that you're bothered, then what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is to recite Surah Baqarah in the house. Recite Surah Baqarah, it'll be gone. Or what you do is the place where you hear it, then put a CD or a laptop on with Surah Baqarah playing over and over again. It doesn't have to be with a loud voice. It can be with a soft voice and let it play throughout the day. In the night, sleep with it off. In the day, let it play. You'll see the problem will be gone. These are very simple things for you to get sorted out. Some people, what happens is, okay, now let's get to the serious matters. As some of you will say, well, Mawlana Sahib is saying everything is, psychological problem with me because I never stop my son from playing PlayStation, huh? Is that what he's saying, huh? Well, let me tell you. There is a serious thing called black magic. Now, if anybody wants to understand or know about this a lot, I've got two lectures on the internet of this. And you can watch them because each one is hours long. So the first one is about almost 2 hours long. The second one is about 1.5 hours long. Okay? So go to the internet, you'll get the full information. I'm not covering any of that here. Because I've only got a few minutes here to speak to you. I might as well give you the solutions to any problems that anyone's got. So one of them, you will find it's something to do. I think if you put my name there and with like jinn or something, or lecture on jinn, it'll come up. And the second one is not a video one, it's an audio one I did in Chicago. And it was recorded by Darus Salam, Madrasa and Masjid in Chicago. If you put Darus Salam on YouTube, you find them from Chicago, you'll find my lecture on there. It's an audio one, not a video one, but I've got extra messages on that if you're interested in further information. But what I will tell you right now is that sihr is a real problem. Mullah Sulaiman said a very interesting thing at the beginning. We have two extremes of people. Some people go to the complete extreme of saying that these things, you know, anything happens or it's jinn, jadu, something happened, okay? And some people go to the other extreme of saying that this is not even something that exists. I will tell you, brother, if you've never had experience of this yourself, then I don't blame you. You are denying something which you are unaware of. If you've seen it firsthand, if you've dealt with it firsthand, you will not deny this. So how the process works is, the sihr is black magic, which means these people, they are devil worshippers. To do sihr, you have to become a devil worshipper, or you have to actually invoke on the devils, or you have to offer something to the devils. Now, if a mu'min or a believer does this, this is kufr. It will make you lose your iman. But if, I want to warn you about this, and this is a very stern warning I have to give you. Some people think that they're not going to do it themselves, but they're going to go to India and go to some Hindu person and get them to do the jadu. That's what happens, right? Does it happen here or not? Am I talking to a crowd? You've never experienced this. Have they experienced this? Yes? If you do that and you are the person who does that, then you have equal crime of doing this. You have also lost your iman if you do this. Because you are thinking that this is completely fine for you to do, that you will destroy another person's life, and you're thinking just because a Hindu person has done it, and you give him the money, and they will ruin somebody's life, that you're free from it, you're not free from it. And I'll tell you one other thing. Subhanallah, where there is a rich and an affluent population of people, we seem to have more cases of black magic. Why? Do you know why? Because of pesa. People want, let's say for example, if I don't like Moli Sahab, I actually like him, yeah, I'm just making it up, yeah. Let's say I don't like Moli Sahab or something and I've got a vendetta against him and I want to go after him. There's two ways. Either I confront him or do it behind his back. People are so low that they will do things like this behind people's backs because they don't want to do it in front of them. But you're not exempt, you're part of it. Now what happens is they will go to these Hindu devil worshippers. And those devil worshippers have got devils that are at their service because they give them certain offerings. And they will do something where they will make the jinns come to your house or to your body of whoever you are, and they will start to mess up with your mind or mess up with your house or whatever it is, or business, it could be anything. Okay? Now again, I want to tell you, Quran recitation is the biggest form of protection you can ever have. Ever have. And the other thing I want to say to you is to do this. Very simple dua in the morning. Bismillahi ala nafsi wa ahli wa mali. Finish. Can everyone say it with me? Bismillahi ala nafsi wa ahli wa mali. Subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ used to recite this early in the morning after Fajr. This is in a Sahih Hadith. So he used to say, in the name of Allah, okay, ala nafsi, on me, wa ahli, on my family, and wa mali, on my wealth. So basically this is protection for you, for your family, for your wealth. Say that in the morning, Allah will protect you, protect your family, protect your wealth as well. There are a number of du'as the Prophet ﷺ used to do in the morning. And we need to know these adhkar of sabah and masa. Most of our communities, I don't know why, we don't have this in our practice. They give you maximum protection from these stuff, from jinns and jadu. So the Prophet ﷺ said, like in one hadith, Allahumma ajirni minan nar 7 times. It will protect you from the fire. Or there's another one. Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. 3 times in the morning after Fajr, 3 times in the evening after Maghrib, you got full protection. Or for example, you say qul huwallahu ahad 3 times, qul a'udhu birabbil falaq 3 times, qul a'udhu bin nas 3 times. Regularly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this after Fajr and after Maghrib. This is going to be full protection throughout the day. Ayatul Kursi after Fajr. In fact, Ayatul Kursi say, according to one narration, after every fard salah, if you can do it. If not, at least after Fajr and after Maghrib. This is full protection for you. Do this in the morning, do this in the evening, got protection. I'm going to give you another one. You guys in South Africa need the next one. The next one specifically for you guys in South Africa. You better record it. I don't want anybody to come to me afterwards and say, this has been recorded, by the way, right? It's been recorded. Molly Sahib is going to send you the recording. Nobody come to me and tell me repeat this afterwards, what the dua was. But this is not just for you in South Africa. This is for the whole of the world. But I think you guys need it more. Because alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you with everything in South Africa except for safety. You got a big problem of safety. You're always locking everything, barring everything, protecting yourself, which you need to do because you've got a lot of crime here. So there's a hadith with a good chain. It's reported in Imam Nawawi's Adhkar. Imam Nawawi's Adhkar, his book Adhkar, Imam will know about this. It's reported in there. He's got a good chain. A Sahabi, I can't remember what his name was. He was sitting somewhere and somebody came up to him and said, what are you doing here? He said, why? He said, your house is on fire. He said, my house cannot be on fire. Another person came and said, what are you doing sitting here? He said, your house is on fire. He said, my house cannot be on fire. Third person came to him, said the same thing, and in the end he said, my house cannot be on fire. So then he got up, he went to his house. And then they saw it wasn't his house, it was his neighbor's house. And he said, the reason why I said my house cannot be on fire is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us a dua. If you say the dua after Fajr and if you say the dua after Maghrib, then your house will be protected from fire, from theft as well. And this is the one that you guys need. Allahumma anta rabbi la Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta alayka tawakkaltu wa anta rabbul arshil karim ma sha Allahu kan wa ma lam yasha lam yakun la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al ali al azim a'lamu anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi wa min sharri kulli dabba anta akhidhun bi nasiyatiha inna rabbi ala siratin mustaqim. This one you pray after Fajr, you pray after Maghrib. Insha'Allah, your houses will be protected night and day. Insha'Allah. A lot of you sitting there thinking, huh, that's a bit too long, huh? That's a bit too long. You learn this dua. Take it off the recording, or Imam can get it out of Imam Nawawi's Adhkar, and he can make printouts later on. He can give it to you and you can recite it. And the thing is, subhanAllah, I found myself, I'm telling you that sometimes, you forget to lock the back door. Sometimes you forget to do this, forget to do that. And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, I have to say alhamdulillah, I say alhamdulillah again and mashallah again, that many times this has happened with my own house. But nothing, alhamdulillah, nothing has happened. Because the thing is, you will have a specific group of angels that will be sent to you for the protection of your house. Okay? Now, let's say, for example, these people who are doing the jadu or something, they do a spell. Now let me explain to you what happens. They send the jinns over to you, whatever. These jinns are actually subdued to come and mess up with your life. If you don't believe in this, then look in the Quran in Surah Baqarah in the beginning, where Allah Azza wa Jal describes about Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. Okay, in that, in those verses in Surah Baqarah, it talks about يُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. The certain sihr or certain black magics they use to try and divide the man from his wife. And there are certain evils that are around there like that. Now, what do you need to do? Well, what you need to do is, it works like, it's like a few things I have to say. The strength of your amal, your actions, the strength of your Quran recitation versus the strength of the evil that they have sent towards you is always going to be your calculation. So when your amal and your actions and your Quran recitation is stronger than the sihr they've sent to you, you've got no worries because you will overcome it. When your amal and your actions, or like I said to you earlier, your cleanliness is not good, and you're not keeping, you know, good, you're not looking after yourself properly, then these things can affect you very easily. So the more you increase your amal, your actions, the better it will be. Now, sometimes it is necessary for a person to turn to a raqi, even though they recite the Quran, because the sihr is very strong. At that moment, my brothers, my sisters, I'm asking you, please come to your local imam, take advice. They will send you to other people, whoever they are. Genuine people are out there that can deal with this. But go to the right people to deal with this. Don't waste your money, don't waste your energy in giving your monies and your efforts to the wrong places. Now, there's one other one that's left, which is the evil eye. An evil eye is true. Because Bukhari has even said, وَالْعَيْنُ حَقٌّ, that the evil eye is true. Now, what do you do with the evil eye? First thing is, anyone who sees any gift of Allah about any other Muslim, just say, Masha Allah. What do you say? Masha. Or you say, Barakallahu Feek. Okay, Barakallahu Feek. This is a dua for them, and inshallah they will be saved from evil eye. But if you feel that there is evil eye with you, and don't think that evil eye is from an evil person. A lot of people don't understand this. They think that evil eye can only be from my enemy. Evil eye can be from your beloved. Your wife can give you evil eye. That's why you guys don't smile ever. Exactly. I come here, sit here talking to you like, Your husbands can give. The husbands can give wives evil eye. Parents can give children evil eye. Children can give parents sometimes evil eye. It can happen. Friends can give friends evil eye. It can happen. The simple thing to do is this. Okay, I'm going to give you one remedy, which again is not reported particularly in a hadith, but ulama have experienced this, and it works, alhamdulillah. Try it. Those of you who are very sort of, you know, inquisitive about this number thing, just do it whatever number of times you want, but I'm going to tell you, the last two verses of Surah Qalam. The last two verses of Surah Qalam. وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. These are the last two verses of Surah Qalam, Surah number 68. You read those 41 times, then you do ruqya on yourself. You can blow in your hands and put it all over yourself, or blow into some water and drink it. Then inshallah, bi-idhnillah, there will be no evil eye left with you. Okay, so that's a very quick thing you can do to remove the evil eye. Now, the final few things that I want to say to you is that jinns are good and jinns are bad. There are good jinns and there are bad jinns. There are many good jinns that protect us without us even knowing. So don't be scared of jinns. If you're scared of jinns, then the jinns are not scared of you. Okay? But if you are not scared of the jinns, then the jinns are scared of you. That's the way, okay? So don't be afraid to go anywhere, because if you're doing your amal, and if you're being a known person, you don't have to be afraid of any of this, okay? Now, the good jinns, we need to respect them. So whenever we talk about jinns, don't always, you know, always remember, when you talk about jinns, there are many good jinns out there. So whenever you talk about jinns, there are many good jinns, just mention that, because that's good for our jinn brothers and jinn sisters. And they're around, they come to the masjid, they pray with us, they're in our houses, they're all around and so on. Most of them will never bother you in their life. Most of them never ever bother you in their life. They won't cross that limit, because Allah's put a barrier between us and between them. And they're not supposed to cross that barrier, we're not supposed to cross the barrier as well, towards them. So you can be safe from jinns and so on. Do your tilawa, do your amal, get your life in shape, and once you've got that, you've got nothing to worry about. And if anything does happen, then do remember that you need to make sure that your own amal and your own deeds are up. And if they're up, then inshallah, bidna, nothing's going to happen to you. Okay? And like I said to you earlier, please don't forget the other thing. A lot of problems we have is not to do with jinns, okay? Sometimes it's not to do with black magic or jinns. Sometimes it could be a problem you've got which you don't want to admit to, so you just blame it on a jinn or you blame it on sihr. And sometimes it's a psychological problem, and sometimes it's a counseling problem. Sometimes people need counseling. I've seen many husbands and wives, they have problems, they need a simple thing solution. So I'm going to give you the biggest solution to the arguments of husbands and wives. This is a big problem. Is not a problem in South Africa, is a problem or not? Huh? Even Imam Saab is laughing. You've had it, my friend. When you go home tonight, yeah, you've had it. Sorry, I'm not joking. Yeah, it is a problem or not with husband and wives arguing, yes or no? Yes or no? The rest of you don't want to admit it. But anyway, I'll tell you the solution. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah gave a beautiful, beautiful ilaj to this. I'm going to spend 2 more minutes, inshallah, I'm finished. You can do it. Inshallah. There's a beautiful solution to stop all the arguments between husband and wife. Because sometimes what happens is that the husband gets a bit flared up, and sometimes the wife gets a bit flared up, and sometimes both of them get flared up. Yes? Yes, it happens. It's natural, it happens, okay? Now, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Okay. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, he gave a wonderful, wonderful solution. Okay, and Imam just extended my time for 5 minutes. He's extended my time. So I'm going to get to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. One, I'm going to insert another one in between. This is a bonus for you. We men, okay, we have a certain way Allah has created us. Women have been created in a certain way. Women are not men. Men are not women. We are different. We are species of 2 different aliens. You understand? We come from 2 different planets. Okay? We need each other, yet we're different. Just like the night is different from the day. True or not? The night is bright. So the night is dark and the day is bright. The night is something which is calm and the day is something which is bustling. The night, if it was to continue without problems, if the day continued and continued without problems, the night needs the day needs the night. But the night is very different in its nature from the day is very different from the nature of the night. The same way the husband or the man is very different from the woman is different from the man. But the woman needs the man and the man needs the woman. Yes or no? Subhanallah. You know, I've got this saying, yeah? The older generation, they can live without Wi-Fi, but they cannot live without a wife. The new generation, they can live without a wife, but they cannot live without Wi-Fi. When I said that, only a few of the elders, they responded to me, yeah? You guys listen to this, that we're different in our nature. So now what happens is, when a woman speaks, she speaks sometimes according to her alien language. You understand? And to my sisters, I'm saying, when a man speaks his alien language. Because what happens is one day, this happens, okay? And I'm telling you, tell me this, okay? Those of you, if it's happened, just do that. Don't admit it, just do that so I know it's happened, yeah? One day what happens after years and years of marriage, one day you have an argument with your wife and your wife says, you never did anything for me in my life, good ever. Ah, see, some of you went, not even a small one, you did a big one. Now what happened is, this happened to me as well, subhanallah. One day I was having an argument with my wife, and my wife said exactly the same way. She said, you've never in my life ever done anything good ever. And I stopped. And first there was a smile from my heart. Then it came to my face, but I didn't want to smile in front of her. So I left the room and I went upstairs and I smiled. I tell you why I smiled. I smiled because my iman shot up. Why did my iman shut up? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you men will be good to your wives your whole life, and then one day your wife will say, ma ahsanta ilayya dahra abadan, you never did anything good for me in your whole life. Exact words of the Prophet. I said, subhanallah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. My iman shot up in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's, shot up in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's favor. Why? Because he said these words of advice for me 1400 years ago. Because you know what? The woman, when she said it in her alien language. Next morning, she's going to regret what she said. Yes or no? She's going to come up to you, she goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean what I said. Yesterday I spoke in my own language. You guys understand? If we can have this between us, that sometimes you speak in your language which I should ignore, and sometimes I speak in my language you should ignore, then it creates, you know, the whole problem's gone. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, I'm going to say this and then the Adhan can go. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, he said a wonderful thing. He had a marriage of 40 years. And his wife passed away and he was very distressed. And he said, wallahi, in 40 years, I never had an argument with my wife. Say subhanallah. This is a real achievement. So honestly, real achievement. 40 years, no argument. Wow. So his disciple said, oh Imam, how is it 40 years went by, not a single argument between you and your wife? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, he said, whenever I used to get angry with her, and I used to get flared up, and I would say words about her that she did not like, she took it on herself to remain silent until I have calmed down. And whenever my wife said, she flared up, she got angry with me, she said words which I didn't like, I took it on myself to stay silent until she has calmed down. Do you guys understand? So now, once they would calm down, he said, we spoke nicely to each other once you calm down. This is the biggest solution to all your arguments you got in the house. And I want you to practice this from today. Say inshallah. You said inshallah, don't expect your wife to do it first, you better do it first. So if you have a rule in your house, when she gets angry, just move away. Stay calm. Don't say anything. Go away. When she calms down, you can talk. Same with you, inshallah, there won't be any arguments. Jazakumullah khair wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillah.